We are back as we get into the fourth and final hour of this program. Bob Pompiani along with Austin Bechtel and now Jeff Hathorn, sports director here at 93.7 The Fan, a man who wears many hats, has joined us. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the AC for as long as I can.
Yeah, and starting tomorrow, do you wear bucket hats? Those big...
I don't.
You should.
I don't. I know I should.
Because it's the one thing that covers your ears. And I found through having gone through this myself with this melanoma crap, that if you don't cover your ears, you're risking something there. So,
I mean, I bring sunscreen, but I don't look good in anything, let alone a bucket hat.
I don't either, but I've gotten to the point in my life where it doesn't matter. I don't care. I just want to protect myself.
But there's going to be some new Steelers, and I don't want their first view of me to be, who's this dork in the bucket hat? Who's Gilligan over here?
You won't look like that.
Yes, I will.
No, you wouldn't. All right. Let's start with this training camp because now it begins. All the talk we've had for the last 3.5 months or whatever it's been, trying to assemble this roster, they finally have it done, although I do think it's still a little incomplete, and I think there could be changes by the end of the preseason schedule, which takes them, you know, through three games. They'll have a better assessment of who's doing what. Your biggest storyline going into this training camp would be what?
I mean, it's always about the quarterback. So how does – we didn't get to see Aaron Rodgers do much during the 3 days of mini camp. I mean, he didn't do – he threw some outs, some 10-yard outs. I want to see him let loose. I want to see what this – what he looks like in a camp setting when they have the first-team offense, even if it's just, you know, 7-on-7. Like, let's see what that looks like. You've seen it for 20 years, but you've never seen it in black and gold, never seen it at age 41, or at least with the Steelers at age 41. So, I mean, that's the biggest one. There are some other ones. I mean – where does Jalen Ramsey play, Bob?
I think he's going to be sort of a hybrid guy. You know, he's
going seems to, like it.
But it would depend on down and distance. It'll depend on what they're looking at in terms of the other offense. So, but I would see him. I told Austin early on, I was not a big fan of this, and I like Deshaun Elliott, but Thornhill and those two guys as your two guys back there, that I think that's potentially a problem.
Maybe they only have one back there.
Maybe. They could do that too.
I mean, maybe it's only Elliott, and maybe Thornhill.
That'll be the interesting thing of this whole makeup.
I mean, does Peyton Wilson, is he fast enough that he plays kind of a hybrid linebacker safety and Ramsey? I mean, there are a lot of options. If you're Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, and you sit in a room and you think about all the different ways you could form this defense, I'm sure it's a lot of fun with all the games you could play. But then it's like, okay, this looks great on paper, but how are these guys going to play together? That's another one of the fascinating things. Where does this guy play? We heard all last year about the communication issues. Minka felt like some of those were solved or at least heading in the right direction before they traded him. Obviously, they felt like he was a part of the problem or he would still be on this roster. So how does that work? Who steps up in the secondary? Is it Deshaun Elliott now as the big man? Does Ramsey come in because of his experience, or does a guy like Slay, because he's the longest veteran, longest tenured veteran in the group, does he become that guy? Like, how does that stuff work? Are things I'm going to be watching the first few weeks?
Do you have a breakout player or two that you can talk about here? Because they have guys, and I'm not going to include the rookies on this because that wouldn't constitute a breakout, but someone who's been around here for a while, who hasn't done maybe what you expected, and now you need that person to do it. One on offense, one on defense. I'll start, and the first one I'll do is Roman Wilson year two. I have to see something from him. If they're going to count on what they have in their wide receiving tandem and their roster of wide receivers, they need him to be a real contributor to it. And on defense, I think that Keanu Benton is a guy who really has to be breakout.
Those are good ones. To be different, I would say Calvin Austin needs to be more consistent with what he's shown. I mean, he's shown some flashes of being an impact-type receiver, and you talk to any one of those coaches over there, and they'll all tell you our number two receiver is Calvin Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. We feel good about what Calvin Austin can bring this team this year, especially with the tight ends, with his ability maybe to get lost because of the defense having to worry about those big guys.
Right.
So that would be one for me, and it's a contract year for him. I would say Peyton Wilson is – the other one for me. I know it's just year two. How far has he come? How much does his speed play? can he be an impact if he's in the box? Like, where has he taken his game now that you don't have a Landon Roberts as that run-stuffing linebacker?
Well, they do have, you know, coming back into this, Cole Holcomb, but I'm not so sure how much you can expect from a guy coming back. That injury was a significant injury. It's taken him a long time, and I applaud anyone who comes back from something like that. I mean, you really have to – you do that rehab in the darkness with no one around. You have to be committed. There's no cheating. You got to be honest with yourself, and he's done that.
And he's a guy who's had triple-digit tackles in his in seasons in his career. And, I mean, I think he can do a little bit of everything, but to your point, I mean, until he establishes himself, I think the two linebackers are Wilson and Queen, with with Holcomb being that third that could either come in situationally. If he has a great camp, then Wilson could be the guy that's just doing a lot of odd things.
I think that's a big strength for them, linebackers in general, outside, inside, depth. The one area that I do not have a lot of confidence in is backup offensive line. I think, you know, there's some questions for the starting offensive line, but if they hit what they're supposed to do and do what they're supposed to do, that becomes a good part of their team, because I think they'll give Rodgers time. But if there are injuries, I was looking at Dylan Cook here as, you know, one of the key tackle swing guys. I mean, nothing against him.
He's crazy, just athlete, but just hasn't done it.
No, he hasn't done it. They've had it other.
Calvin Anderson is an experienced guy who started a lot of games in the NFL. I think he's a good player to have. I think Ryan McCollum is a good guy to have.
Spencer Anderson was a former pick of theirs.
He's a guy that can flip guards, guard spots, and you can even move him out to tackle. And he can play center in an emergency. I think, whereas maybe with Herbig, you had someone that you could plug in for half a season, I think the guys that you have now, maybe for a couple of games, but any longer than that, you're probably looking outside.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. We talked about wide receiver, and if Roman Wilson isn't the answer, is Jonnu Smith sort of that? We talk about the word hybrid a lot. That's all we're using here, a lot of these guys. He's a hybrid guy. He plays tight end. He can do a lot, but they can line him up differently, and he's shown the ability to go down the field with yak yards.
He is going to line up wide. It'll be Freiermuth on the line of scrimmage, because Jonnu Smith is there to catch the ball, not block. And he's not a great blocker, but and he went from 27 catches just 2 years ago to 88 last year. I mean, it's a crazy rise. It's been a meteoric rise for him with his last two teams. They have to have big things from him. They went out and spent a lot in Minka, obviously getting Ramsey back as well, but he's got to have a big year for them, and they've got to open up the middle of the field. I know there was a lot of talk, and Lemus was part of that too. You heard all that talk last year that, you know, Arthur Smith doesn't throw it in the middle of the field. Well, they better this year, because two of their best three pass catchers are tight ends.
They put up some caution tape there, Jeff, right at the hash marks to make sure nobody would go in between there.
And it was as much Russ, maybe, as
fearful
it was
of
Arthur.
Making a mistake. Yeah. Right? So when Tomlin pounds that into your head a lot, it makes you think. You know, I don't want to. But Rodgers has been pretty good about not making interception mishaps, although the last 2 years he's had two of his worst years in that department.
I think Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith can pound things into Aaron Rodgers' head. It doesn't mean he's going to listen. And I think that could be a good thing for them. For if he goes rogue a couple of times, even though there'll be a mistake here or there, and could show them, hey, when you play aggressively, look what can happen. That part of me, I'm not. When it first was proposed about Aaron Rodgers, I thought, no way. But the more you hear about it, maybe it's just wishful thinking. I go into it really curious to see how this is going to work.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to, and again, one area has to support the other. If your offensive line is not good, that's going to make things difficult for plays to develop and him to have the time he needs to do it. On the other side of it, we talked a lot this morning about their defensive line. You know, it's nice to have outside linebackers who can get after you, but you need down and distance in your favor to make that happen. Generally speaking, if you get throttled in the run game so that guys are just running the ball down your throat, it limits what your linebackers can really do in those situations.
Yes, yes. And let me bring this up with the offense as well, because we talked offensive line and backup offensive linemen. It's got to work with Broderick Jones.
Yes.
I mean, he's got to be what they drafted, because if not, then you're leaving a tight end in the block on that side, which is limiting who you can use. Does that mean that Freiermuth doesn't play in some passing downs, that you don't put John, or that you have three tight ends in obvious passing downs because you need one to block, two to go out wide? I mean, it can really limit what this offense can do if they can't trust Broderick Jones on that left side.
Yeah, he has to be the player that they envisioned him to be when he came out. I think Troy Fautano looks like someone who will be that player. We got a good look at him last year before the injury, and he looked like a man at that position, like he was going to be able to take care of whatever.
Well, and you studied tape, and you called some of those games. Like, his athleticism
is
like a tight end.
Yeah, it's really big.
I mean, he gets down to the second level like a tight end. And, I mean, can he hold up over a whole season? How is he going to handle guys bull rushing him? Like, things like that we just didn't see at the pro level. But this guy, they were so excited about him. I mean, think about it. It was going to be a situation where he might not be the starter, but they let him battle, and he won that battle, and he was right. They were expecting him to have the same type of season that a Zach Frazier had last year as a rookie.
I'm curious about playing time. We asked this to Brian Batko with Aaron Rodgers. I believe that all these guys should take snaps in the preseason. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just something to kind of get up to speed in a game-type situation. Aaron Rodgers, however, is 41 going on 42. He's been down every one of these kind of situations. Does he need to get time with a new group of guys? Doesn't have to be a lot of time, but at some point of this preseason, should we see him in a game?
All right, so there's two questions there. Does he need it, and will we see him out there in it? I think the over-under might be two series that we see him the entire preseason on a football field in a preseason game, because to your point, he's 41. I think he feels like he's going to get those things addressed in camp and that we're not going to see a ton of him out there. I just don't. I mean, I think all those guys could always use more time. I mean, look at the first couple of weeks of the NFL season over the last few years.
Very sloppy play.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Steelers, given their situation, especially with the early bye week, like no team can afford sloppy play. But, man, you would like to see this be a little bit sharper, especially with the new pieces. And I would hope that the offensive line gets a number of reps together in the preseason.
I think they need to have that's a whole different line now, and you need to get that. Will Howard, we've talked a lot about him. And in a perfect situation for the Steelers, you'll never see him in a game this year. And I say that out of respect for him. I know what he did in college, but if Rodgers plays the game, majority of games, I suspect he'll be out a game or two with something. Mason will come in. As far as the preseason is concerned, how much would you divvy up Mason Rudolph versus Will Howard?
Oh, Will Howard gets the second half of the first game.
And becomes a fan favorite.
So that'll be my guarantee limits, is that after the first or second preseason game, the calls / Joe will be, this guy's the quarterback.
And they're going to say immediately, I told you, limits, how dare you try to put down Will Howard the way that you did.
We've seen it so many times.
I see it every preseason.
And that doesn't mean he may not be a good quarterback. The beauty, I think, for Will Howard is this. He gets to sit back with no pressure.
Right.
Learn, watch. Aaron Rodgers has talked a game about how he likes Will Howard, and whatever he asks him, he's not going to volunteer information, but if Will comes to him, he'll let him know anything he wants to know. We've seen it in the past that Mason Rudolph is an outstanding teammate. He's going to share information. I think it's a really good setup for him, whereas if there would not have been Aaron Rodgers and Mason would have been the starter, it would be a different scenario for him to learn it. There'd be more opportunity for him to potentially get on the field, but the chance to just sit back and learn would be minuscule.
I can see it right now. Oh, this DeMarcus Ayers, he's a really good player. What do you think, Charlie? Could he make the roster? Will Howard, do you think he could have an opportunity? I can see it, Bob. That conversation's had every year about a player.
Every time we
booth.
Do preseason games, you're going to have conversations like that because that's what we have to do. I mean, you got to talk about some of these situations.
One of the undrafted free agent wide receivers that they sign will absolutely be a camp phenom.
That's right. It's going to be Montana Lamonius Craig. You watch. and he'll get a fan base.
This Kobe Hamilton, Charlie, I think he might be able to make
that
the team.
That almost sounds like Montana to Craig, right?
Well, it is almost, with the Lemonius in between.
Right.
So he's on the roster. We'll see. And I think they're wearing him at 21. I forget.
Do you remember Montana DeRapo, the relief pitcher that the Pirates had? Do you remember him?
Yes. Only
he wasn't very good, Jeff.
There have been a few of those.
Just a couple.